Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton. It's Wyman and Bob live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Field. So hopefully, as the gates open, you guys come by, say hello to us. If you're on the phone, if you're listening on the radio or at your computer, wherever you're at, text in any question you've got for John Clayton right now. 710-710 is the text number. We'll try to get to some of your questions before we let John go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Oh, good. Just did 4 hours on network radio for your buddy Nick
Pavlatos. My buddy Nick. Oh, Nick Pavlatos.
Yeah.
So, good guy. You got to tell him I said hello. I haven't talked to the guy in a long time, so tell him I said hello.
I thought you meant Nick Saban.
Yeah. Well, we're going to say, don't you call him Nick. You call him Coach.
Yeah, Coach. Coach Saban. No, but it was great. And then, of course, what's great was that for the last 3 days, I've been with Max Starks, who works at our sister station in Phoenix, former Steeler, and, good to see. And we had such a good time because, our phone lines were loaded for 3 days.
John, let's talk about the news coming out of Minnesota. Rick Dennison is out as an assistant coach because apparently he refused to receive the vaccine for COVID-19. Now, just for the listeners out there that may not be aware, he's Tier 1, and the vaccine is required for all Tier 1 staff, including coaches, front office execs, equipment managers, and scouts. Players are not required to receive the vaccine, but will face the protocols during camp. But he's got to be part of that because they've got to be able to be in a room with the players. They've got to be able to be in meetings and have direct interactions with the players, and him refusing to get the vaccine obviously eliminates him from that process. So what do you make of this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, they put him on administrative leave, I guess, giving him the option to try to take the vaccine, which right now he's not doing. But this is a big blow for the Vikings because, understand, if he's going to be, Tier 2 as a coach, he's not going to be allowed to be on the field. I mean, because, again, it's like, if you're going to be an offensive line coach, I mean, you want to gather the guys on the bench after plays and be able to go ahead and after series and, try to talk them through what's going to be needed. But now you can look at the fact that, he's right now on the outside looking in. It's not good. And that's two big blows that the Vikings and Mike Zimmer have had. I mean, the first blow was the fact that Gary Kubiak, the offensive coordinator, quit in January. The second blow is the fact that now you lose Dennison and have to go with, I think they may be okay with the offensive line coach replacement, but Dennison, you're talking about a guy where he and Kubiak were together for, 15 years and did so many great things together, whether it was in Houston or Denver or whatever, and now, they're both out, and of course that really leaves the offense for the Vikings in a very tough spot.
Well, yeah, John, I was with those guys in the very beginning when they first started in Denver. They were together. Mm-hmm. I think they were both like young assistant coaches then. And that's a big one for the Vikings. I mean, what do you think happens there? I mean, do you think he's going to end up getting it, or do you think they're just going to have to move on from him?
I don't know. I kind of get the feeling he's probably just going to move on. I mean, because I don't know if he's going to get the vaccine. Because there's going to be, and you're going to see, again, today was a fascinating day because you still have more players reporting. You still have more players coming in and, getting the, getting tested and stuff like that. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars had three more players that ended up, going on the COVID-19 list. They now have four total. Tampa Bay had one. Arizona's had one. And so you're up to about seven that are like that. But from what I hear, there are going to be more coaches that aren't going to take the vaccine. And if that's the case, they're not going to be coaches. Like one of the offensive line coaches for the New England Patriots. I mean, he didn't get the vaccine and he was just let go. So, they didn't put him on administrative leave. They just let him go. So, we're going to see more of that. And, you can see that in many cases, there's going to be some damage to some good football teams or whatever football teams.
Well, do you see a scenario where there's enough guys and, like, superstars? Let's say, every starting quarterback or, head coaches or whatever that just say, yeah, I'm not going to get it. I wonder if there's a point where, because, the thing we talk about is...
Well, the coaches have to, according to the rules.
Yeah,
the players don't have to.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the two, I guess.
Yeah, but then you also the for the players, it's just going to make life a lot more difficult for them, you know. And so it's, you know, I wonder if there's a point where they might just say, okay, well, we're just going to ease the restrictions now and maybe just go back to, you know, the way that they, because they got through it last year without missing any games. So I just think it's a lot safer this year. So, you know, what do you think, John? I mean, do you think that it could get to a point where the NFL says, okay, well, we're not requiring, you know, vaccines anymore?
Well, no, I mean, they aren't for the players, but not for the coaches. And so, you know, the players aren't.
Well, I know, but, you know, when I say that, what I mean is, you know, they're making it not a lot more difficult, but they're just making it a lot more like last year for some of those guys. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, you know, they even ease all of those things as well.
Well, here's where the issue is right now, is that, sure, they made it through with like 262 positive tests, which was amazing when you consider all the players in this league. And so that was encouraging. But here's where the downside of it is, you know, the Delta virus, you know, out of COVID-19, that strain right now is more infectious. I mean, it may not be as harmful, but it's more infectious. And so you look at what's going on in the country and what I think, including the state of Washington, all the numbers are up. And there's only like one state that's at least as of today, one state that is, you know, staying level and one state that's green. And so you look at that and you think, OK, you can lose a whole bunch of players. I don't think they're going to back down. I think what the league is going to do is like, OK, if you have a bunch of players. And right now, for example, Jacksonville has four because they had to put the third string quarterback on yesterday. And that obviously is not affecting any games or anything else because they're not close to any games yet. But if there's going to be breakouts that force you to possibly you know, have to move a game, they're not moving the game. I mean, the players going to get you know, they're going to lose their paychecks. Even the ones on the other team are going to lose their paychecks. So yeah, I think they're going to stay with this because they want as many players as possible to get the vaccine to limit the chances of having, you know, any positive tests. So honestly, I think that they're not going to adjust on that, and I can see them going full head of steam on that.
Just to update the Vikings thing, I just saw a statement from the team. The Vikings continue to hold discussions with offensive line coach Rick Dennison regarding the NFLPA COVID-19 protocols for training camp and preseason games. At this time, Coach Dennison does not have an exemption to the vaccination requirements of those protocols. We will adhere to the requirements of protocols and applicable law. So sounds like they're working on it. Like they're not going, well, he's out, it's over. It sounds mm-hmm. like it's sort of a work in progress there.
Yeah, it is. And so, yeah, and that's why you hope he comes back, because again, that's going to be a big blow, because I think he's a good offensive line coach. I know the offensive line, and you've watched it, Dave and Bob, the last 2 years has not been very good. And I know on the network today, we're taking a bunch of calls from Minnesota fans, and they were really down on Rick Dennison. So, I mean, you kind of wonder, you know, with Gary Kubiak retiring, maybe Rick's thinking the same thing. It's just not worth it to be able to continue. But, I mean, think about doing this, you know, and not taking the vaccine or whatever he's thinking in his mind, you know, right on the eve of when training camp starts.
Yeah, it's too bad. I get really excited this time of year for camp to start, and every year for football I get fired up, and it's just kind of sucking a little bit of the energy away from that. But yeah, again, I think it'll go off, John. They'll find a way to get these games going, I think. But mm-hmm. How about Shaquem? I think it's a 5.5 hour drive actually from Miami to Jacksonville. So even though he's in the same state,
yeah,
as you know, but they hired Shaquem down in Miami, and pretty cool that guy's going to get another chance. We were just kind of reminiscing, John. I remember when he got drafted, I was like, I remember asking a lot of guys in the NFL and a lot of really good scouts and GMs, and I asked, do you think Shaquem can play in the NFL? And they all, a lot of them said, I don't know. You know, and he can. He can mm-hmm. play in the NFL. It's just remarkable to me. He's just kind of a hero to me anyway. For a guy that has no left hand, being able to play the way he does, it was a very special moment when they drafted him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think it's great that, I mean, you knew somebody was going to pick him up. I mean, I think what he's entering his fourth year, so it would have been a 920 base salary and all that stuff. And so it wasn't like he was going to break the bank. And he goes to a coach in Brian Flores that I think can get some good things out of him and, you know, fit in. Now, what's going to be interesting is that they run a little bit more 3-4 defense? Is he going to be a little bit more on the outside linebacker in a 3-4, which may give him a chance to get some sacks, which, of course, that's one thing that, you know, they tried here on the 4-3 to be able to do. But, yeah, I just think it's great that he was able to get something.
Hey, John, what do you make of the story Davante Adams heading into the final year of his deal? And apparently the conversations between his reps and the Packers have broken off, and they are not planning on resuming them, according to the story from Ian Rappaport. What do you make of that? Looks like he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
Free agent. They could franchise him, but I think that you could get the feeling, because he's a big supporter of Aaron Rodgers, that I don't know if he's going to hold out or not hold out or what his strategy is going to be, but it's going to be a big blow. And honestly, when you look at the Packers and their cap situation for next year and everything else, I mean, you know, this, even if Aaron Rodgers and Adams are there, this, I think, is going to be their last big Super Bowl type of year, because, again, you know, they've lost two key starters in the last 2 years on the offensive line. You know, they're going to lose some more players on defense. I think, you know, Preston Smith, probably going to lose him, you know, and it seems like all they do is, you know, they took Jordan Love and they draft cornerbacks. And of course, now, ironically, they're going to go, and you know that the Packers have liked to play a lot of man defense. Now they hire a defensive coordinator who's going to want to use more zone. And you go, really, with Kevin King and, you know, Jahir Alexander and all that stuff? So you just kind of wonder what's going on with the Packers. But again, I guess we'll find out starting Tuesday if Adams is going to show up, if Rodgers is going to show up, and where they're heading as a team this year.
Well, and does Davante Adams, do you think, want to do something long-term with Green Bay, when you're thinking probably, you know, Aaron Rodgers is maybe only going to, maybe he only goes another couple years? I mean, I wonder if he's going to start thinking elsewhere.
Oh, I think he already has. I mean, because you notice he stayed away from the offseason program except for the mini camp. I mean, he and four other receivers stayed out of a good part of the OTAs. And so, you know, that has to be a little bit scary. And then in the end, if Aaron's not, and again, even if Aaron shows up this year, most people don't think he's going to be with the Green Bay Packers next year. And so I think that, not that he's going to align himself with Aaron, because again, he'll go to the team that pays him the most. And, you know, he's looking at the DeAndre Hopkins contract and thinking, well, if you're not going to pay me that, I'm not going to do it. But I think also he is looking at the idea. It's like, do I want to stay in Green Bay if Aaron Rodgers isn't here? So I do think that's a good part of it.
Yeah, you know, I heard Bumpus today say, what about New Orleans for Aaron Rodgers? Now, and the argument was, of course, they're up against the cap. They don't have room. But, I mean, to get Aaron Rodgers there for a couple of years.
Next year, I think that's a real possibility, because I think Sean Payton definitely wants to, and most people think that he will be in the mix. Denver obviously is the leading candidate to be able to get him, if it's going to be this year or next year. You know, New Orleans can't really do it this year because of the cap. But no, I think there's a decent chance that you can see that maybe, just maybe, that they go ahead and do something with Aaron Rodgers. And of course, I mean, just going through this today, you know, we find out that Michael Thomas, their best wide receiver, he's going to be out 4 months, you know, because he had ankle surgery in June. And so when you put all that together, they didn't have much at the receiver position last year other than Michael Thomas, and he was hurt a good portion of the year. And so now there's going to be even a bigger drop off. And I was counting, you know, for the start of the season, they're going to be down 11 starters. 11, because they had to cut guys. You know, they have the defensive tackle who went on the six-game suspension list. I mean, they are in bad shape, and they're in a division right now where Tampa Bay ends up bringing back all their starters from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say they're the opposite of Tampa Bay. But, well, and then even doing it this year, I mean, what would they have to do? I mean, they could cut somebody, trade somebody, whatever, to ease their cap. I mean, it would probably have to be one or two really good players, but still, to get Aaron Rodgers, man.
Well, like, again, the Saints can't do it this year. I mean, it's just out of the question, because, again, they had to shave $118 million of cap room just to be able to get under the cap. I mean, they do have some room right now, but also, you know, they got to look and see if they can get a long-term deal with Marcus Lattimore. And then the problem that they also face with Lattimore, he faces the possibility of an off-the-field incident where he might get suspended, and that could be 12 starters they could be down.
Wow.
710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. You guys can text in any questions you've got for John. this from the 360, and I haven't seen this, but according to them, ESPN is predicting the Seahawks to finish last in the division. I haven't seen that, but where does the professor expect them to finish?
I think they're going to win the division. I mean, because you know, what you're looking at is that they have the best quarterback in the division. I think they've added to the defense. Sure, there's some question marks at the cornerback position, but you look at San Francisco, you look at Arizona. I mean, they've got questions at the cornerback position. You can also look at the Rams. They've got questions at the cornerback position. And where I think they have the advantage is, with the fact that, the Rams, with that Matthew Stafford trade, which will make them better in the passing offense, they ended up losing four starters on defense. They're Brandon Staley, their defensive coordinator, Gerald Everett, Josh Reynolds. Then, of course, the big blow when they got the Achilles tear for Cam Akers, who is going to be, I think, having a breakout season. So it's like, they're not as deep as a team, and they're still good. They're still a playoff team. So the way I see the division going, and again, I think San Francisco has a chance to bounce back and compete. But I say right now that, number one is Seattle, number two, Rams, number three, San Francisco, and number four, Arizona.
Yeah, well, would you say that he's, I don't know about way better, but I mean, if it's Garoppolo, Kyler Murray, I feel like this is kind of a prove-it year for Kyler Murray.
Yeah, it is.
And then, Matthew Stafford, we'll see about him. But I mean, to me, that was just reckless because I think you by far have the best quarterback in the conference in Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I mean, again, he's, Hall of Fame caliber. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, of course, is going to rate above him. But now with Drew Brees gone and everything else, I mean, he is the best. And, of course, he's got a new offensive coordinator that I think he likes and an offense that I think he likes. And so, yeah, I think it's set up for, a lot of good things for this team this year.
All right, John, before I ask you the next question, we're going to throw it in because it's Friday, and we're out at a bar. And so the 253, Professor, your favorite alcoholic beverage?
Well, it used to be Cabernet, but that became a little bit too dense. And so it's right now it's Chardonnay.
You know what that makes you, John?
What's that?
A whiner.
Oh, okay.
John used to call me a whiner because I complained about the television not being in the studio.
Yeah.
By the way, John, we have a television in the studio.
Oh, wow. So you can't whine about it anymore.
No. No more whining.
Wow. How about that? Does it work?
Yeah, it works.
Oh, good.
Lefko
good.
Has control of it because it's whatever he puts on in the control room. But, yeah, we at least have a TV now.
Congratulations. That's just great. I think it's,
that made your year, didn't it, John?
Yeah, and the great part is the next thing you can probably get in taking care of that rotary phone is to be able to get a regular phone.
I like the old rotary phone.
406. That's from, but the 406 asking, do you expect the NFC West to be the best division in the NFL this season?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, because, again, you're looking at four teams right now that have the ability to win eight or nine games. And so you can't see that in any other division. You can say maybe the AFC North has a chance to be really good, but I don't think Cincinnati's going to have a winning record. And so, no, I think that this division is easily the best. And, again, you look at each team, they have good quarterbacks. That's good. They have offensive weapons. And then also what makes this division so good is that each of the teams are so aggressive in trying to acquire talent. I mean, Seattle was able to pick up Jamal Adams in that trade, Quandre Diggs in a trade. You look at Arizona. I mean, they go ahead and get Marcus Hudson at center. They get DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver. You look at San Francisco. They were able to get Trent Williams at the left tackle position. And, the Rams, I mean, they go ahead and they were able to get Leonard Floyd. They were able to get Jalen Ramsey. And so, no, I think that part of the reason this division is so good is that you have quarterbacks and aggressive front offices.
Okay, John, a couple of more questions here from the 206. Do you think it's going to drastically change? Is the offense going to drastically be changed this year for the Seahawks? Or how much do you think there's going to be sort of still some Pete Carroll peppered in there?
No, it's going to drastically change because, again, what you're looking at is it's the Rams 49ers offense, which is spreading rapidly through the league. And so, I mean, you're going to see a little bit more two tight end sets because it makes them less predictable as far as whether it's going to be a run or a pass. You're going to see the ball come out quicker. You're still going to see the long passes and chunk plays. I mean, you're going to see outside zone runs, and I think you're going to see it's going to look different. Now, again, as even Pete was asked so many times, you know, in the off season, it's like, yeah, you want to run the ball more. And of course, this offense will run the ball more than the 40% that they ran last year. And of course, Pete kind of, you know, looks, lifts his head up a little bit and kind of grunts a little bit when you bring that up. But no, I think it's going to be a smarter running game, a better running game. And again, I was a big believer in Brian Schottenheimer. But again, once they went to cover two in that second half of the season, they were stifled. And so I think that the way this offense is, it's going to be able to get it, because one thing that you know from the Rams and Sean McVay, same thing with Kyle Shanahan, is that, you know, he likes to be able to, you know, get those running games going so he can get the big chunk plays downfield.
John, the 425 asking in Denver, Teddy or Drew at quarterback, and why?
Teddy, because I think he's got more experience. He doesn't throw as many interceptions. I think that you know, he'll make less mistakes, because Drew Lock last year had 15 interceptions and was considered to be the worst quarterback in the league. And so I think, you know, Locke has talent. He has, I think, a little bit more talent right now than Teddy Bridgewater, although Bridgewater was a former first-round pick. But I think, you know, that knee injury took away some things from him. But I think that Teddy's going to win the job, and then we'll see with this three-receiver set and Noah Fant how well he can do with the offense. And, of course, they're also really gifted at the you know, running back position, because Melvin Gordon's a two-time Pro Bowler. Javonte Williams was the second best running back in the in this draft. And so, no, I think that you know, Teddy has a chance to get them into the playoffs.
Who you like in the AFC West besides the Chiefs? Who do you think comes in second?
I think the Chargers.
That seems, that's what everybody's battling right?
Yeah. Because, again, what you look at the Chargers is that I think Brandon Staley would do a good job switching into a 3-4 defense. You know, they've got good talent. And of the seven new coaches, I think he's the only one who can come out with a winning record. So I think that I look very positively at the Chargers. And then, of course, the big thing is they got Justin Herbert at quarterback.
Yep. 425 asking, Professor, will the Seahawks O-line be good enough this year to keep Chris Carson healthy all year? I think his injuries are a result of him and not the line.
Not the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line doesn't play into it. Is because, you know, he's maybe not as physical as Marshawn Lynch, but his Marshawn Lynch style, you know, leads to him to get hurt. And so it's not that he should change his style, because that's what he is. But again, it's like it's not the offensive line that causes the injuries. It's the guys trying to tackle on defense.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I never thought I would say this, but I think he's one guy that needs to step out of bounds a little bit more. He needs to go watch some Sean Alexander film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, honestly, I mean, look, Sean, that's one of the reasons why he lasted that long. I mean, look, he wasn't going to run you over. That's for sure. And
well, unless he was in the red zone. He was a different running back inside the 20.
Yeah, he did. But, I mean, I think there was one time that I saw him really put his head down and try to run through somebody. Probably was inside the 10. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing that he talked about, too. We interviewed him one time. He's like, yeah, I need to probably not do that. I think he promised his mom he wouldn't do the flipping thing anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's well. A good
he was going to hurdle players anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
John, you doing your show tomorrow?
Yes, from 8 to 11, taking your phone calls.
Taking phone calls 8 to 11 tomorrow, and we will talk to you on Monday, John.
Okay, sounds good.